Are you ready?
Okay, Smokey. Roll 'em. That's silly. Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
I gotcha!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to That's Not Quite All, Folks, a Looney Tunes podcast. I'm your host, Mark Hallam, joined by...
And I'm Jordan Schmidt, and from the makers of the first three Wartime Shorts episodes that we did, now here comes a fourth, which means we have, like, more of these than, like, World Wars at this point, which is nice. I mean, this may not age well, but yeah.
Oh, man. I can't wait until we fight Sweden. I don't know.
Why Sweden? What are they going to do?
They just joined NATO. They just joined NATO. They look around, go, actually, fuck all this, and then just drops the big one.
Yeah, no. Why would anyone antagonize us first? I mean, you know. Our whole thing is bombing the shit out of other countries and then just, you know, interfering with their governments when they try and fight back. So, again, America, we not a great country. hooray for Canada. Wartime cartoons. Wartime cartoons. All three of these were released between 1942 and 1943, actually. And they all... persist of mindsets pertaining to the Second World War. Some of these have actually aged pretty well. Some have not. One has not.
No, absolutely not. No, these three shorts, I think, go through the gamut of what a Warner Brothers would do with their shorts. It's either we go right for the jugular, we go right at the people we are fighting against, or we send one of our characters over to the war, to the war scene, and have him fuck with people.
Yeah, like get Debbie Ducker there, fuck him up.
Yeah, exactly. Or we just take a conventional cartoon approach that we already know how to do pretty well, and then just kind of tie it into the war.
Yeah.
And all three of those are of varying quality and also of varying timelessness and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's one of these that I think works as a really good historical document of wartime cartoons. There's another one of these that I think has not aged very well at all. But, we have the full spectrum of it, and we also have, like, a bunch of these are Freeling. You know, one of these is like, a seventh-string director. You know, it's not just the usual, like, okay, Frank Tashlin and Chuck Jones go to war kind of thing. It's, you know, it's some different types.
So, the shorts we are covering today are The Ducktators, Daffy the Commando, ending with The Fifth Column Mouse.
And, you know, being that some of these maybe go a little too far in what they're trying to do, why don't we start with the racist one? We're starting with The Ducktators. This one, it's funny. This was released on August 1st, 1942. That's the same day Phony Fables, which we covered a million years ago, was released.
Oh.
So we have a repeat on this day.
Okay. Well, it's been so long, I'll allow it. So what happened on this day?
It's funny because I just watched Casino Royale recently. And one of the actors who was in that, Italian actor Giancarlo Giannini, was born on this day. He plays the friendly, but also possibly duplicitous, Mathis, who also appears in Quantum of Solace, which isn't as good, and also probably much better Italian films that I am too American to have heard of. He was born on this day. Also, I can only assume when we did the Phony Fables episode that I tried to get you to guess who the other guy born on this day was, and I think it took you too long.
I am so low in energy today, man. Just tell me who it is.
Jerry Garcia was also born on this day.
Ah, yes. Jerry
Which
Garcia.
I think I tried to do like a Ben and Jerry's flavor and you got like five other ones.
Yeah. I guessed King Kong or something. I don't fucking know.
You guessed like, I don't know, somebody. I didn't know Dave Matthews was born in the 40s. No. Now, Jerry Garcia, a lead singer of the Grateful Dead, a band that I don't listen to, but I can respect because I know a lot of family friends who are deadheads. So, like, I get it. Yeah, he was born this day. You know, good for him.
Cool. Friend to John Mayer.
Yeah. I don't think they were friends. I think that Jerry Garcia died before John Mayer was famous. But I know that John Mayer is friends with all his bandmates.
That's weird. It's like, yeah. Darn. We need some, which given, I get, because I'm pretty sure why Grateful and Company even happened was just, I don't know who said to who, but I've had a guess who Grateful Dead was like, hey, this John Mayer guy can play guitar really well. Hey, do you want to improve our profile and maybe get us some new listeners? Because all of our fans are becoming old and dying.
Yeah.
And John Mayer came in. And then John Mayer came in like... Bing, ba, ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding. John Mayer came in like...
I didn't know that John Mayer was Randy Newman's son. That's very new information.
Okay. You just didn't think that Jerry Garcia on his deathbed is like, but what should we do to take care of you? What about the band? He goes, there is a young molester named John Mayer who is roaming the countryside with a guitar. That man will someday lead this band when not completely humiliating other pop stars. Find him and he will be your new me. He reaches out his hand and they just...
Jesus Christ. The short! The short man!
Oh, right. The short.
The short!
The Ducktators was directed by Norman McCabe, a lesser-known Termite Terrace director who was doing one or two. He had his own unit in the wartime eras and then promptly didn't have one anymore after most of these cartoons came out. It was written by Melvin Millar, who has written a couple of Tashlin shorts, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Tashlin guy.
Yeah. Okay, and then a note that the ending of this would get censored in some repeats, but since the cartoon is now in the public domain, now they just show the whole thing, and you can just see this whole thing for what it is.
I watched all three of these shorts on YouTube.
Same.
In HD. Yeah. You can watch...
most of them are in the public domain. So, yeah. So... The cartoon doesn't do much to build to its concept because the whole thing is a barnyard and it's a bunch of ducks expecting a child. And the child in question, the egg hatches, and it's Hitler Duck. It doesn't really build to Hitler Duck. It just sort of springs on us like, surprise, Hitler Duck! Like, okay.
No
that's
one
our cartoon.
The Hitler Duck.
But yeah, that's basically what this is. It is, what if Hitler was duck? And then it's all the different, like, this is true, then this is also true, and then this is true, and then Hitler. And then that means Mussolini's a goose named Goosolini, and all these other things. There are actually some points where there are good gags in between the very obvious bits of Hitler as a duck squawking around and you know, coming to power. There's a bit where, because the whole thing is narrated as well, and this is a very funny narrator. But he's like, and so time passed. And they just somebody whips by, hey, bud, not so fast. And then Father Time, voiced by Mel Black, comes back in. Oh, all right, but time does fly, don't it, Johnny? God bless this unit's gag work. I love it.
Yeah. The one thing I really liked about this, this is, Austin, this is more of like a history thing than a Looney Tunes gag thing.
Yeah.
I forgot that the knowledge that Hitler was originally going to be a painter and then was told not to was public knowledge in the 1940s.
Yeah. It was. The
thing where it's like, where they're like, yeah, you know, he tried being an artist with a brush, and then it just like cuts over. But he was only given the brush, and he's just putting up like Nazi like signs or whatever. It's like, oh, I didn't know that was public knowledge. It's like, I mean, yeah, this guy can't draw for shit. It's like, oh, okay.
When I heard that the Hitler started out painting, I'm like, this is like you remember the show Time Squad?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do.
You know how, like, every episode of Time Squad was, like, they go back and see a historical figure, and he's doing something completely different, and then they help, and it turns out, yes. And the first episode is Eli Whitney, before inventing the cotton gin, had an army of flesh-eating zombies, I believe. And so our heroes come in, and it turns out they help him invent the cotton gin. And now, it feels like Hitler starting out as a painter and then becoming the dictator and chancellor of Germany is like a reverse Time Squad plot where like a famous paint, like they go back to like Picasso and instead of painting his masterpieces, he's in fact enslaving half of Spain. And they're like, no, Pablo, look at these brushes and paints. And he goes, why, that's fantastic. I don't need to be, killing people. I'd rather make weird art things of pianos and guitars. And so, yeah. And so Hitler being a painter is like, no, that's like a Time Squad thing.
I know. It's real, all right.
Yep.
Also, I do like the narrator tripping over the goose.
Yes.
More gullible than gooses. Geese, usually go.
The narrator forgets the plural of geese and has to go through a bunch of other plurals for animals in his head. Goose, geese. And actually, you know, voice acting note, that actually is Michael Maltese, not Michael Malgeese. Though that would be great because he's voicing Goosellini.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
great. And it's Michael Maltese doing is very goofy. Like again, because it's an Italian and because he's white, it's not quite racist, but towing the line.
Also, like Ted Pierce is also in this cartoon.
So, oh, maybe yeah, that's who it was. I think it was Ted Pierce. I might have gotten them confused because Michael Maltese is in the third one. So.
Okay. Yeah.
My bad. Breaking Jordan gets something wrong on episode of That's Not Quite All Folks.
That's fine. Also, like, it's as soon as they introduce Mussolini, a card gets slipped in front of the audience which states, "We wish to apologize to the nice ducks and geese who may be in the audience."
All nine of them.
The management.
Yeah. I like that. That's like, it's odd that they're throwing it in now rather than starting the cartoon with it. But it's like, oh, hey, it's like they're saying this to all the German and Italian immigrants that maybe are in theaters across America going, not to you.
You're okay. Which, hey, you know what? Kramer Kranz do? That's a little at advanced thinking on the 40 sensibilities of this time. So just a cartoon that's being propaganda is going, however, we acknowledge it's not every German who's like this. Yeah,
they wouldn't do that with Japanese, but they're doing that with the white people that are
no,
that, you know.
And they sure wouldn't do it.
No. Believe me. We're gonna get there. But yeah, so we have some quick gags here where they have all the ducks lining up in Sieg Heiling, and you have Daffy playing a southerner who has a southern accent because he's from South Germany and just winks at us. But yeah, also you have another bit where Mussolini is going on a diatribe, but he has this pause before he pulls up an applause sign and like one person who's chained there claps. And around here is where the cartoon runs out of steam because now it's their chance to satirize people that aren't white and things get racist. So they have this really racist caricature of Hideki Tojo. And it's the kind of thing where he's like hopping across the water in a really racist accent that Mel Blanc is doing. And there's some decent satire where he claims a turtle for his own, and the turtle argues, and he opens up his coat, and he reveals that he's got a button that says, "No, I'm from China," the little made from Japan thing, which is a joke that I don't like. I don't like that one. You know, I still think it's kind of iffy, because then you're saying that you can't tell them apart, and that's not great.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. This not has perfect. Been Mark Now Understands the Racist Joke.
Mark Now Understands the Racist Joke. But yeah, and so we have some prattling here, and it gets towards... Because this whole time they're sitting at this arc where the only person who can save the day is the peace dove, the dove of peace, who speaks in rhyme and waxes upon high and it's like, are they really fighting? Is it just yada yada? And there's not much of a character there, you see, because they're trying to make this sort of white bread peace dove, and there's not much of a real likable quality to it.
Though I gotta admit that when I first saw the peace dove and he was arriving, I kind of wanted to go, "No, you jerk! The private staff food shorts are being made over there! Get your Dr. Seuss ass over here!" This is turn my tears, motherfucker! We ain't got time for that rhyming.
Go nonsense. In the corner with Ted! Not that Ted! This Ted. Wrong Ted. No, 1D, not 2Ds.
Exactly, yeah.
For stunking a termite terrace with your 1D Ted and your 2D Ted, rock-a-fucka. But yeah, and so as we go towards the climax where, you know, the Hitler duck is taking over the world, I don't really understand the concept of the Dove of Peace beating the shit out of warmongers, because you're saying that peace prevails when war is done in the name of peace. I mean... I get it. The message is support the U.S. war effort and buy bonds. But the metaphor is a little screwy because you have the peace dove coming down and trying to solve the problem with violence, with beating the shit out of the other guys. And, I mean, I kind of get it because, like, yes, it's better that our guys prevail and the people who want peace. But, like, bombing enemies in the name of peace is kind of backwards because that's what they're trying to say. We're attacking Japan and Germany and Italy in the name of peace. Oh yeah, Hiroshima, name of peace, eh? You know, Nagasaki, you know, all the bombs you're killing innocent people with, name of peace, eh? To people to this day, we'll use like, well, we're bombing other countries in the name of peace. And yeah, but you know, I'm glad that the people that weren't part of the conflict, when the bombs are over their heads, are going, well, at least this was done in the name of peace. Like it's not a very peaceful way of going about it, I think. And here Mark just says, yeah, so what happens next?
Yeah, so what happens next, Jordan?
Well, there's fighting.
Yeah, though I... Okay, here's the one thing that kind of threw me. I mean, okay, I like the animation of the peaceful dove being the shit out of people.
Yeah.
That was good. Though also, the one I threw up, and I rewound to make sure I heard it, is while the peace dove is fighting, there's a one line from Mel of... Hit him one for Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Okay. We're being direct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Aiming for the juggler, this cartoon is very much going like, no, yeah. Fuck you. Which, I mean, on one hand, yeah. I mean, on the other hand, like, there's a better way you could have done that.
Yeah. This is like, it's not great. They also, they fit in a Jerry Colonna cameo, which is very amusing.
As a rabbit?
Yeah, Jerry Colonna Rabbit. Why not? It's always—it's like Ned Sparks. It's always good to see him show up, you know.
Yeah.
And plus, it's not racist. But yeah, it kind of wraps up and ends the ending of this cartoon, which is the part that was banned in a lot of parts of the country. Was the peace dove basically sermonizing to his children? As I remember, we have to get in there and fight the good fight, and you know, or else they're going to be the ones. It's better us being the victor. Than them, and you pan to the mantelpiece, and he's literally mounted the severed heads of Hitler Duck and Mussolini Goose and Hideki Tojo. You know, they're like stuffed animal, like taxidermied heads of geese and moose. I did it. And so basically, like, it's a very heavy-handed, and like, remember to join the fight, or else it'll be them celebrating over our heads or something. And also, buy war bonds.
And a couple things. One, I think the dove in his older age was supposed to be a Winston Churchill reference. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
We will fight them on the beaches. We will fight the ducks and the pigeons and the geese.
Pretty much.
Ducks and... No, never mind. Go.
And then my buddy said, like, you know, we watch this whole cartoon. It's incredibly taboo. It's very much out there. There's not a single recurring character in it. And that's just like...
That's all, folks. That's all, folks.
I'm like, what sort of tonal whiplash is that?
It would have been so funny if he breaks through the drum and like, the fuck was that?
Right?
Exactly. Did you guys see that? What was that?
Whoa.
That's all, folks.
Was that our guy doing the Tokyoko thing? Oh my god.
That's the guy that does my voice. What the hell? Anyway, badibada, I guess. And the thing is, like, this cartoon had a decent start. Like, there were good gags in the first half. A lot of blackout gags. But, like, they were still, like, decent gags. It just... the eventual point they were making and the casual racism just burned it away. Because this is a very propaganda-y short that's very much meant to enrage the people back at home and get them to boo and jeer at the people in power. And it's very much a claptery kind of short, rather than actually being substantial and about just tomfoolery. It's a call to action. It's a fight the good fight and buy war bonds kind of thing while caricaturing the enemy to make them as unlikable as possible. And it also felt like they just ran out of really good gags and went into a deluge of okay ones. So
it's SNL.
Kind of.
Really. Like the big problem now with Weekend Update, frankly, is like the best bits of Weekend Update. Yes, it's another... It's been a while since we had an SNL takeover. We can update at its best or when they're just, like, fun jokes actually written as jokes. And yeah. Not just the host going, Trump, bad. Yeah. Biden, clumsy. And everyone's applying, yeah. like bad. Like, it's well documented that Lorne Michaels doesn't like that.
Comedy's more to that. Like, Norm Macdonald used to actually make good points on the show. Even as soon as Seth Meyers also used to do that. Like, Norm Macdonald, he would obviously attack the right, but, like, he would also bring Bill Clinton to task. Like one of my favorite jokes of his, of all time, was, like, it wasn't even, like, that much of a political joke. It just became one where it was, like tragically, this actor who played Bozo the Clown, most famously, passed away this week at the age of 73. In response, Bill Clinton said, you know, for $100,000, he can be buried next to JFK. Which tells you everything you need to know about Bill Clinton. And he would bring up the fact, like, hey, he had a guy murdered once. Remember that? Whereas SNL now is like, hey, isn't this guy bad anyway? On to the joke about a dog.
Pretty much. And that's kind of what this short is, not to compare SNL to World War II propaganda, but, you know, I don't know. It kind of feels that way sometimes.
Here's what it is. And this is a comparison mostly to SNL right now. It's, you've seen the movie Good Morning America, Vietnam, right?
I have, yes.
Yeah. So there's a bit in there where, because the whole thing is that Robin Williams is this radio DJ trying to boost the morale of soldiers in Vietnam. And at one point, the cafe that he frequents is bombed.
Up. And he says it on the radio broadcast. Yeah.
The thing is, they tell him not to. Because he's like, remember, you're only supposed to boost the morale. You playing rock music is enough. But you cannot mention this on the air. But he's like, but I'm supposed to tell the news. This is the news. This happened to me. And they say no. And so basically what happens is he defies the orders of people of J.T. Walsh and Bruno Kirby.
And he says it.
Right. In Saigon today, according to official sources, nothing actually happened. One thing that didn't officially happen was a bomb didn't officially explode at 1430 hours, unofficially destroying Jimmy Wah's cafe.
Get him out of there.
Three men were unofficially wounded, and two men whose identities are still not known at this time
for unofficial fire. Yeah.
I'll break the goddamn
local
door
police down. Police, ambulance, and fire department responded. We believe to be unofficial at this present moment. Detained at this moment in Othello.
Turn it off now!
Hospital.
And they literally yank him off the air and penalize him for it. And it's only when it's revealed that the people hate Bruno Kirby's polka music that he gets his job back. That's what it feels like right now. It feels like someone at gunpoint is telling them on SNL right now, hey, you're not supposed to joke about this because God forbid people get mad. You're supposed to make joke about things that are innocuous or things that, you know, aren't the fate of our democracy. And these guys have no backbone, so they do it. But again, that's me ranting about something a little bit different. The Ducktators, yeah, it's very much propaganda. It's funny. It has some funny points, but it's not like I see the purpose it's trying to serve. And it's not solely to make us laugh. It's to get us to buy war bonds. And that doesn't always cut it.
Yeah, there were some decent gags in here. When you don't think about the implications of the dove whipping everybody's ass, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, but also like when we look at it, you go like, actually, that's kind of fucked up. Wait a minute. Maybe this isn't right. But
yeah.
Yeah. It's... Eh. It's some propaganda, all right?
Yep.
This definitely wasn't aired on Cartoon Network, I tell you that much.
No, it was not. Because what kids are going to... Anyway. You can air Drafty Daffy, but because at least that has a message of like, you know... That at least has a message about like wartime activity that has aged well. And also, it's a really funny cartoon. This is just... Who is this for outside of the masses in 1942? Like, it's not like them trying to amuse themselves.
I'll say something that I actually had saved for my short that you disagree with. This short is very much a you-had-to-be-there short. You had to be there.
Yeah. You really had to be there, because this is just, you know, a moment in time. And that moment is not now. It's not.
No.
I give this a 2.5 out of 5.
I'm also giving it a 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah. You know, it's what it is. Now, according to me, let's get to something a little bit more substantial.
Yes, so this is Daffy the Commando. Came out on November 20th, 1943, 5 and 6 days shy of our birthdays in 1943.
You're kind of close there, yeah.
On this day, the Battle of World War II stuff, so the Battle of Tarawa, Tarawa. I'm sounding like Bob Walters right now.
The Kawawa.
Battle of, all right, in the Battle of
1943,
Tarawa,
the Battle of Kawawa.
Pretty much. Yeah, the Battle
thousands
of
Germans
Tarawa and the Battle of Macon, the United States Marines made an amphibious landing on the Japanese-controlled Tarawa Atoll.
I'm making an amphibious landing!
Yeah, it's a thing. So I believe that it ended on that day. But in regards of movie news, you know, it's so funny how I mentioned a James Bond film previously, because this one right here, My Hama. Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Japanese film actress who portrayed
Kissy Suzuki
You Only Live Twice was born on this day in Tokyo.
Okay. You ever seen You Only Live Twice?
I have not.
Okay, so that one, I was going to say it's the most racist James Bond movie, but I'm not even sure of that, takes place in Tokyo. And
wait, is this the one where Sean Connery pretended to be Japanese?
Yeah, in order to have him blend in, they make him look... Because the whole thing is that, like, him and his girlfriend from the first half are, you know, they're hiding out, and his girlfriend is poisoned. And so MI6 is like, okay, you need to lay low, you need to blend in. And so they give him a whole cosmetic procedure to make a 40-something-year-old Scotsman look Japanese. And the other thing they do is they marry him off to a woman he has not met, which is kind of the par for the course in some parts of Asia, named Kissy Suzuki, who is played by Mihama, who was born on this day. And she is a, you know, they're married, but I think she also aids the attack on Blofeld's volcano base. I believe she's helpful in that because it's the two of them and it's Bond's cohort in Japan named Tiger Tanaka. And the three of them infiltrate the volcano lair base and Bond is captured. And Blofeld, that's the first movie we see Blofeld in. He's played by Donald Pleasance from the Halloween movies and yada yada.
Right, right.
And that's the one that Mike Myers was on about in the Austin Powers movies where he's literally, he's bald, he's scarred, and he's got a white cat. That is the Blofeld yeah. The most cinematically, notable Blofeld, because everybody else is a bit more like edge, Telly Savalas did it, but he's like the stereotypical Blofeld. So yeah, that's You Only Live Twice. It's a little bit racist, but she was good in it.
Yeah. So this short was directed by Fritz Freleng, written by Michael Maltese. Some fun facts here. It is in the public domain, this cartoon, and because it's in the public domain, that means that in the Futurama episode titled When Aliens Attack, uses a short clip in the opening sequence screen gag. So it would be in every episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like when they do that, when they have like old cartoon footage.
Yeah, it's nice.
As what the ship crashes into.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know which clip they used. I don't believe it's the one where Daffy hits Hitler on the head with a mallet. Which is also I don't know. I don't have time to look it up. But yes, that is where that infamous video clip comes from. You see it like every single like World War II cartoon documentary ever. It's like it's a very popular clip to use to showcase like this is America during World War II. This is the stuff they did to show their support. Cut to Daffy Duck hitting Adolf Hitler on the head with a mallet.
Yeah, it's kind of a wonder we hadn't covered this one yet, because we'd done three World War II episodes, and this is one that I kept waiting to show up, and I'm like, oh, we haven't done Daffy the Commander? All right, fine, let's do it!
So, our short begins in... during Germany. It's the war.
During the time of Germany.
Yes.
A metric of time as well as a European country. Oh, it's Germany o'clock.
Ah, yes. As we get this Chancellor? Sergeant? Who is he? Who's he supposed to be in this?
This owl-like figure.
He's some guy with authority that obviously is within the axis of evil.
I mean, he looks like a cross between either Eric von Stroheim or Werner Klemperer, so I just called him Colonel Clank.
You know what? For the sake of clarity, that's what we're going to call him. So Colonel Clink.
Oh, God!
He gets a telegram from the Axis of Evil, pretty much saying, hey, if you let one more guy come through this battlefield, we're going to fire your ass. And I do like how he takes off the monocle. And Chester Fields has a very small eye.
Boy, that's a great gag.
Very nice. Yeah. As we're introduced...
Schultz!
Yes, to a joke we thought had its roots in Big Top Bunny. But no, it came from this cartoon. As he yells out Schultz, and this little owl man runs through the door.
He looks like one of the Mario side characters.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. He does look like a
little Koopa Troopas.
Oh, man. So we're introduced to Schultz.
Schultz!
And as they hear another airplane going by, like America is dropping like bombs or whatever the fuck. And it's like, Schultz! Go! Like, go! Be sure that. And then because he's so small and his helmet's so large, he just rants into the wall. He misses the door completely. Back sound goes.
You hear him slam into the wall. You hear him resituate and then just try it again.
Listen, this may be controversial. I like this Nazi Schultz fella. I like Schultz. He's nice.
Adding the tally of good Nazis to one.
Yeah, it's him, and it's Hitler from Mel Brooks' The Producers.
Oh.
Not a real Nazi, yes, but still.
You mean Dick Shawn Hitler? from the original.
Yeah.
What so, is two? Two and two is four. Lord, I can't take it because we're losing the war. No, anyway.
Okay. So they put on the lights. And Schultz is terrible at his job. It's like Schultz. And the constant gag is that he hits Schultz with a mallet, essentially. Because he keeps fucking up. So Schultz eventually puts up the light. We look up, and who is falling down? But star of stage, screen, and not television yet, Daffy Duck.
Hell yeah. Also, just the shot of the two of them looking up in silhouette, the way it's lit is amazing. Like, just, you know, and just the light shining on Daffy and him just sort of singing to himself and then just going,
put out those lights!
And then he does.
Schultz!
Oh my God.
Put the lights back on. As Daffy then proceeds to do shadow puppetry all over the light.
They turn into dancing ladies for a good 2 minutes. I love that.
And then we get this like clear shot of Schultz. He's a little owl man. It's just like, woo, hey, just Schultz! Get to fucking die.
Good Lord.
As him and Colonel Clink run around, leading Daffy to throw down a slide that says asbestos. And he lifts it up again, and he makes a silly face at the Colonel.
It's silly. It's just a very goofy bit. Isn't around here the bit where Daffy hands... Oh, no, because it's... It's like, because it's like, what time is it? And it's like, oh, it's this. And then they say, gives him a bomb and times it to that. And like, here you go. And... Yeah. Some good timing here, but I love the bomb blowing Schultz sky high, the general yelling for him, and then him stopping in midair and coming back down. Oh, the gag work. Again, Michael Maltese just throwing everything he's got at this.
So eventually, Dom and the Colonel go on this chase. The Colonel then sees someone walking by, so he stops, throws a Heil Hitler out in there. As a skunk walks by.
Yeah. He thought he smelled Hitler.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. See, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. Because he runs back and then he looks, sees it was a skunk and just goes like,
Yeah. What's the difference?
So... We then get this telephone bit where Daffy goes into a telephone booth as Colonel Clink opens it, and then just Daffy just goes at the door. And according to the wiki, what Daffy is saying in German is accurate German. I could be wrong. Don't know.
Actual accurate translation in a Looney Tunes cartoon? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's very much just like, it's just Daffy saying like, oh, can't you see I'm busy with the telephones? Can't you wait your turn, bub?
But he just pulls out these translations in cards to us.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, yeah. English translation. And then once he gets back to English, he just like pulls the German translation out as well.
It's very, very silly. I was like, okay, bub, go ahead. And then the Colonel picks up the phone and goes,
oh, is that you, Mert?
And this angers him. And I don't know why.
I didn't get it either.
What? No. Why? Like, what the fuck's so funny? I didn't get it either. Listen, audience, I gotta be really clear with you all. When I watched this cartoon, I originally thought, I'm like, man, a lot of these guys are just kind of like had to be there, man. Like a lot of this is like World War II eccentric goals. Guys.
Some of them are.
Yeah, I thought that was one of them.
But some of them are really good.
So this next video is actually pretty good, where Taffy gets a plane, flies up in the air, a bunch of Nazi planes come towards him, and just Mr. Schnitz.
It's like Messerschmitt planes or something.
Yeah. Messerschmitt planes, yeah, and then just. More and more show up. It's like, even more Messerschmitts! Flies off as they shoot at each other and they crash to the ground. And Daffy going, real mess of them! Messerschmitts, get it? Because Messerschmitts and that.
Yeah. I remember that they use that clip a lot in the Golden Collections.
And okay, this upcoming bit is what made me laugh the hardest, which is Daffy goes into a cannon, and also really nice background design by on this cannon, very reflective. It's really
good. Oh, I love the animation of that.
It's plugged in, and the colonel is like, Hitler, pulls the string. As he gets blasted out. Yeah, really. As Daffy gets blasted out, it's just da 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 da. That's it. He's wearing a
human cannonball. He's a human cannonball now. I love that.
He's a human cannonball. That got me good. I'm like, okay, actually, this short may be incredible.
Oh my god.
It's Daffy getting blasted. Hey, it's a good case of Daffy getting blasted for once. How about that?
Yeah, he's blasted in the direction of a war criminal.
Blasted into Hitler, and we get rotoscoped animation of Hitler. Which, boy, can you imagine being the animator that day? You go into work, you hang your hat on the hat rack, put your coat away, you sit down at your animation desk and go, okay, what am I doing today? Oh, I have all these Hitler images to rotoscope. I'm just going to look at these images right now. Oh!
Hitler. Well, hey, isn't it funny that he's actually going to be a good work of art? Ironic, isn't it? Now, this ending, where it's basically Daffy whacking Hitler on the head, it's mostly Clapter, but it is a solid ending. Because it's, I mean, yes, the audience wants someone to finally hit him on the head.
What did he say at the end of it? What did he say? Was it guards? Ow! God, like what the hell did he say at the end before the Irish? I have no idea what the hell he said. Which, like, I don't know, if I had to be like, what would... It's the question that every cartoon animator at this time have always wanted to ask. What would Hitler say if he got hit in the head with a mallet by Daffy Duck?
Well, hopefully he wouldn't say anything. He'd just die.
Ideally, yes. But, yeah, I guess.
It'd be funny if it just went, oop!
That's where it ends. Decent enough Daffy Duck cartoon. I think, okay. Oh, a Daffy Duck cartoon at this time, they looked at what's working, and they applied it to the World War II conflict. I get that. However, I feel there are few too many gags that are too specific to the time period to be enjoyed in a contemporary sense. But there is enough here where I can appreciate the historical nature of it. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's like a classic or anything, in my opinion. I think you disagree.
You see, I kind of love this one. I mean, there are so many excellent gags and moments in this cartoon. Some excellent animation direction from Priz. Great gag work all throughout. A rare World War II cartoon that isn't especially racist. Like,
that's good.
All the violence is towards, like, either made-up Germans or Hitler.
It's focused.
Know. Yeah, it's extremely focused. It doesn't stray too far from the focus. It doesn't get too propaganda-y either. Just Daffy Duck wanting to bash the shit out of Hitler is enough. And, you know, don't we all? Because that's what he was playing to. Don't we all want to bash the shit out of Hitler? Of course. And it doesn't have to be like, well, you can too by giving more bonds. No. But it's just about like, okay, they're having fun. It's Frizen Maltese. I mean, it's a simple setup. Daffy against the bad guys. And it's just a really rewarding and fun cartoon. And I think it had enough to really excite me all the way through. Even if, to your point, there are one or two gags that are very much like specific to tastes of 1943. Then again, though, if... There's not a lot of Looney Tunes cartoons where every single gag has aged well and or is understood by the masses 80 years later.
All right, so I'm going to give this short an anvil rating. It's very controversial. I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Jesus anvils. Christ. All right, I'm going to give it a...
I've seen better Daffy Duck cartoons this era. I'm sorry.
So have I, but this one's really good. I'm giving it a 4.5 out of 5 because I friggin' loved it. Jesus Christ, okay. Mark. Oh, my God. Well, let's get to the one we don't have much to say about. We really should have ended on that one. This is The Fifth Column Mouse, which came out on March 6, 1943. On this day, the Battle of Medinine, Erwin Rommel's Axis forces counteracted North Africa to delay an attack by the British on the Marathon in Tunisia. More war shenanigans, and, you know, is what it is at this point. This was directed by Fritz Freleng, written by Michael Maltese. This one, I believe, is also in the public domain.
Now, when you said that this was written by Fritz Freleng, I gotta admit, man, I was getting some serious Chuck Jones vibes from this entire story.
Yeah.
Like, this is, which, given, I mean, we're on Michael Maltese, not too far up, but the designs in this especially.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I was watching going like, oh, this could be, because given, the print I saw was a Blue Ribbon release, so it didn't have the original opening titles to it. So I just watched this going like, yeah, this is probably a Chuck Jones cartoon. But no, Frizz. Okay. Frizz is what for dinner.
Frizz, the Wonder product. This is Frizz and Maltese. I don't know about you, but I don't really have a lot to say about this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I have some notes here.
Okay.
Some
notes here. But the thing you need to know about this one is that it is the war, a metaphor for the war, but using mice and cats. Because the beginning of this, I love the opening animation here. Because it's the mice in paradise, where they're all just, you know, going down and having, and all throughout the house and singing stuff and all up for it. And they're happy that the cat's away, but he actually finds a way to get in. And it becomes the cat basically selling out the mice to gain control of them and enslave them. And it becomes a very much, without even saying Hitler, it becomes very similar to Hitler and what he did with a lot of people.
There's only really three allusions to the Nazi Hitler thing. One is when the cat is at the window and he wipes some of the dirt away, it just so happens that the space that's cleared away is Hitler's hairdo.
Yeah.
So it's very much like Ralph the Gecko's like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing there. But what especially tickled me about this short is the voice that is given to Adolf Kattler, as I'm going to call
essentially.
Him. Which is, it's not Mel trying to do a Hitler impression, because, you know, it's 43. It's kind of old hat at this point. The war's going to be over in less than a year. No, what they give to the cat is, it's Mel doing his Bugs Bunny voice, but with a German accent to it.
Ever have a feeling that you wanted something, but you didn't know what it was?
Yeah, sure. I always get that feeling, too.
I know. I want a nice, fat, tender mouse.
But the whole thing is that they want this character to be sinister. They want him. This is what I'm kind of getting around here. Is that this isn't a very funny cartoon at all. It's practically jokeless. But what they make up for that with is by making a very terrifying and intimidating figure in this cat.
It's a good story, but it's not necessarily funny.
No, it's not funny at all, because they don't want it to be funny, because they want to propagandize. They want this to be very much like this is a new tactic. They're scaring the masses. And now they want him to be like, you know, don't end up like these mice and, you know, to give everything up and hand over fist to the Germans. No, you have to fight back, because there's more of you than them, which is, you know, also could work for billionaires. But, you know, the government doesn't want you to know that.
I'm looking at my notes here. A lot of this is just story beats. I have right here, because there's a moment where the cat is speaking with this one little gray mouse.
Yeah.
And also this is another thing that kind of had me going, this is like a Chuck Jones cartoon, just watching. It was like, huh, there's brown mice and gray mice. Wait, this is Hubie and Birdie.
Kind of.
It is not Hubie and Birdie.
Yeah.
Kind of. But, again, motifs, probably. It's like, oh, hey, let's use these designs in the cartoon. Anyway, just the cat is talking to this one gray man, says, oh, it always starts with one person. And she's just speaking to the mouse of what to do. And I don't know if you caught this, Jordan. The cat speaks a little bit of Japanese when he's done talking to the mouse.
A little? Yeah.
Not great. And then, of course, the mouse does a freaking Sig Heil. So it's like, oh, okay. Again, this short is very much it's not a funny cartoon, but I could see this as kind of like a kid's introductory thing to the World War II.
It's a metaphor for everyone.
Pretty much, you know, like if you wanted to teach World War II to like fifth graders, maybe show them this cartoon. Okay, get the general gist of it. Without all the racist shit, mostly.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, like around here, you had like people, you had kids asking their parents, like, hey, what's going on? What's this war? And parents not really knowing how to explain it. And so this is a decent way of doing so. It's just not a very funny cartoon.
Because a lot of this cartoon is very, basically demonstrating how this, in a simple way, how this got started. It's like, it's one guy hired by Hitler. Spread the word about Nazism. That's us against them. And it's this and then the other thing. And while this is going on, there's songs. What'd you think of the songs?
Not really much of a fan. I wasn't sure if he was trying to make this a musical. I mean, I like this as sort of a way of making this into a kid's story, but like, not very funny. We come to these for humor. Yes, I mean, we are a story-based podcast, and this is a decent enough story, and we're judging it by
the
story.
We come to this place for humor. Yeah.
Can you imagine Nicole Kidman watching this fucking thing going, yeah.
Shock.
More of this, please. No, put on Aquaman. No, this. I'd appreciate if there were some jokes in there, but there's none.
Yeah, there really isn't. So there does. And eventually the Mayans are like, hey, fuck this, we're going to fight against the cat. Yeah. So they're like, we did it before, we'll do it again. They play that song in as the mice get to work building something. And I wrote down here, wait, if they build Hiroshima, would that be legal?
If they built a nuclear bomb?
Yeah.
How would a bunch of mice make a nuclear bomb with nothing but household supplies?
Stored Little 4. We get Michael J. Fox back. It takes place during the war. For the audio audience, George is facepalmed.
70 mice built this in a cave with a box of scraps.
But who would Nathan Lane? Oh, what? Nibbles? What the hell was the cat's name? Snowball.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, no, here I am again. Building another bomb for a bunch of mice. What is my even existence at this point? Oh, yeah, I bet the bomb's going to have a nice cheese flavor.
Just Steve Zahn going, hey, man, think about it. Like, we build the bomb. We'll eat the cats.
Oh, how could you even think about that at a point like this? Oh, boy. No.
So, they build this, not a nuclear bomb. As fucked up as
it's
that
It's a Trojan, like, no. dog, almost.
It's a Trojan
right?
dog. It's a Trojan yeah. dog. Yeah, pretty much. With, like, silly contraptions to fight him. And they even shave down the cat, which, hey, Kremlin codes do. I was expecting they shave him, and he just has the hair. He has the mustache of Hitler. But it's like, no, they didn't do that. Just like, no, they shouldn't.
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to do that, but I'm glad they didn't. Because that would be a joke!
But no, they shave him. He opens the window, jumps out, and the mice are happy. And then they cut over to the gray mouse, and they're like, yes, we did it! And they throw something at
him.
It's like, well, it's a kid's cartoon.
You can't kill
him. So they couldn't kill him. Yeah. But they probably should have killed him. They
probably should have, but, you know.
He's kind of the reason for it.
Yeah, so it's kind of his fault. He's a fucking turncoat. You know, they flambéed Benedict Arnold. So, yeah. You know. This is played very straight, and is extremely propagandist without mentioning Hitler at all. The chief mark against this cartoon is that it's not funny. The serious of it, I think, makes it work as a 1943-era caricature of the war and the way they use the cat as this manipulative, selfish despot that can be handled and with enough teamwork is a good message. This is more interesting than funny and is definitely an important historical piece that I think can be taught in classes discussing the war. It's not really a success as a Looney Tunes cartoon because it's not funny, but I'm glad it exists. I'm glad we watched it. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I agree. That's why the story is so simple. Like, it's really much, it's in like one location. It's in a house, not by McKimson, surprisingly. Yeah, it just seems like this is just like, this is just Michael Maltese on like a slow day. It's like, what? Oh, another World War II cartoon? Because, like, you gotta think, right? By early 43, gotta think by that point, maybe they're like, I'd like to go back to making funny cartoons now. Yep. Getting kind of tired. And
they just seem it. Only two more years of this.
Yeah. A fine enough cartoon. Yeah, the animation's pretty solid. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Pretty solid animation.
Great.
Pretty much what you said and what I said earlier. It's very much, it's a good teaching of children what the war kind of was. That's pretty much it. Which kind of means it has the same educational value as, like, Schoolhouse Rock, essentially.
Yeah. I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 just on the quality sake alone, but you need to put some jokes in there if you want to keep me interested.
Agreed. I'm also giving this a 3 out of 5 animals.
Okay, good. All right, we'll take it to the masses. Let's see what you guys have to say about these three somewhat propagandist shorts. First comment we have here is from friend of the show, Termite Terrace Club at Looney Terrace, who says, if you want to see Daffy Duck at his best in the 1940s, Davy the Commando, end of sentence. Okay. Yeah, sure. You'll want to sing along to We've Did It Before in a classic World War II allegory set to the tried and true cat and mouse formula. Yeah, there was a lot in Daffy the Commando that I really enjoyed. Not perfect, obviously. But as a wartime cartoon, it definitely doesn't pull many punches and does a lot of really wild and wacky stuff that you could tell they were just raring to do in that era.
And again, with the fifth column mouse, I mean, because that is what he was referring to. And, like, the songs are presented well. You know, it's very much a, because, you know, it's practically a Merry Melodies cartoon, really. So it's like, oh, okay, you know. We have to do a cartoon that's based primarily on a song, and the characters have practically no personality. We did that shit all the time in the 30s.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, we did it before. We can do it again.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, I have a comment here from HP DeskJet 720C. Oh, yeah. Says, the music when the Hitler duck is introduced in the Ducktators is one of the best music cues ever. You know? Yeah. Overall, these are some pretty good wartime shorts from a peak Termite Terrace
era, yeah. Yeah, no, we didn't like these as much as some of the other wartime ones we've done, but the Ducktators is certainly a interesting perspective, and, you know, to play it kind of straight and, you know, do it as is and do the more propagandist version of it is definitely an interesting way of going about it. Key the Drummer from Fife at Drummer from Fife says, I remember seeing the Ducktators for the first time a couple years ago when that egg hatched and Hitler Duck showed up. I don't think I've screamed, oh my God, that loud in my life. Surprisingly, considering how blatantly Hitler-like that duck was, it's actually not the worst World War II short they made. Yeah, I agree. They did a lot more blatantly biting ones. I mean, we've talked about several of them on this show. This one's, again, this was more of just a straight depiction of what was going on. But yeah, the reveal of the Hitler duck is a big reveal, and the cartoon never really rivals it.
No, not really. All right, we have a comment here from the Pemmy, Chrissy, and James podcast over on the Instagram, who says that Daffy the Commando is yet another of the cartoons on the cheap tape my grandparents had, and two things spring to mind. First, compared to a lot of the best Daffy cartoons of the era, the gags and their pacing feel like the B material.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, the very people who complain about modern woke media and cartoons not being what they grew up with are the same people who apparently never saw this cartoon and should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that makes perfect... You know, it's kind of funny because, like, not to easily crap on McKimson again, but the whole, like, a woke versus unwoke thing, it's like... Well, McKimson cartoons are very much non-woke. They're very much...
But not even in the way that people nowadays can be like, yeah, let's go back to that kind of humor. I want to go back to people making fun of their wives. Wait. Maybe some of that was stopped for the right reasons, okay? Maybe there's a reason we don't say off-color shit. I mean, there's a reason... There's a difference between being off-color and still being funny and being off-color and just being rude and mean. Like, a lot of the people that are crying, oh, they've gone woke... don't really have nuance and can't really see the difference. Like, there's a difference between, like, Blazing Saddles and still being funny versus stuff from that era that was really racist and sexist and bad.
Also, it ends the statement by saying, also, Russian Rhapsody, when?
Have we not done that one yet?
No, but I have it slated for the next one.
So the answer to that is soon.
All right, so thank you everybody for your fighting World War II comments this week.
Yeah. Before we get to what we're covering next week, I would like to take this opportunity to thank our Patreon subscribers. That's right, we have a Patreon. If you didn't know about it, you know now. On Patreon, you can subscribe to That's Not Quite All Folks and get plenty of goodies, such as commentaries, bonus material, full uncut episode logs, and lots of fun stuff that you will get the opportunity to have at a $1 level or a $5 level. And I would just like to thank our current patrons, including Andrew, Triscrew, James Irish, Sam Adams, the person, not the drink, my cousin Neil, and Judy M. for giving to this wonderful podcast. And if you'd like to be a part of that, go to patreon.com/TNQAF. Trust me, it'll be worth it.
So, for next week's episode, we go from a battle between Germany and America to a battle between a skunk and the person she does not want to be with. That's right, folks. We're looking at some more Pepe Le Pew cartoons. Why? Because we want to.
I guess we want to.
Honestly, Pepe Le Pew cartoons kind of rock sometimes. Like, sometimes they're really good. And then other times it's just, oh, that's not great.
We've come across some good ones. We've come across ones that we've liked that have actually done it right. It's just, a lot of the time, they're too simple. A lot of the time, there's not much of a hook to them. A lot of the times, it's just clear how skeevy Pepe is. But these ones, I think, are ones that we haven't looked at yet that are a little better than the norm. And we've done some good ones as well, but these ones, I think, will put us in the right direction, I hope.
So, the shorts we are covering next week are Odor of the Day, Really... Really Scent? Okay. Really Scent.
Yeah, Really Scent. Really?
Really? Scent? Really?
Really?
Ending with Wild Over You.
I forget if I've seen any of those, but we will give them the That's Not Quite All Folks treatment, and hopefully we will be fair while also knowing when to give compliments to the character. Yeah, we'll try and keep it open mind.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that next week. All right, so that's the end of this week's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at MarkHalem1995.
You can follow me at TallGuySchmidt.
If you keep up with the podcast or give your thoughts for next week's episode, you can follow us at that_Looney
both on Twitter and Instagram, or type in the podcast title. We are the first result.
You can also find our podcast wherever podcasts are readily available. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon Music. We have a YouTube channel where we post clips from episodes and shorts from episodes, which we also post on our TikTok, which we have for some reason. Also, if you haven't done so already and you feel the need to support the show, go to www.patreon.com/TNQAF.
All right, comrades. So until next week, I'm Mark.
And I'm Jordan, and we hope that you fight the good fight and come home to a Ted with double D's. Good night.